You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, as we get started in just a moment, we'll be in Luke chapter 2 is where we'll be. Excuse me, Luke chapter 1. So if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look through that in just a second. But while you're turning there, I want to tell you the Lord is doing some amazing things, and I get to see a lot of it, and I just want to share some of it with you. With all of the things that have happened with Harvey over this last few months, we have been a part of helping to go into houses, and I think we've been a part of, you know, over 1,000 houses to help clean out. We've raised almost $2 million to be able to give away. Now we're giving away these, yeah, let's cheer for that if we can. And we're giving away the Hope for the Ages CDs that are going out, which is great. Well, we're receiving at the church some thank you notes from people that we've been helping with and some different letters that have been coming in. And one of them that I want to share with you, because I think it's really interesting how God can use stuff. You know, a couple things. One, we went into New Orleans when Katrina happened, and we helped Franklin Avenue Baptist Church there in a tremendous way. And then they came and helped us during Harvey. And I thought that was a beautiful thing. And you may remember a few years ago, I know you remember the Boston Marathon bombing. And there was a church that we had helped support there that had been a part of, that was close where the guys were running around the neighborhood literally, and they hid in the boat. You remember that part? And they found them in the boat. That was just a few blocks from this church that we were helping to plant and to get off the ground. The pastor's wife literally hid under the kitchen table with her children that night when people were running around. When they found the guy, they rang the church bells of this church, and the entire city came out to the church, which was just an incredible thing. Well, we got a note from them, and I just want you to hear this. Your generous gift to us several years ago after the Boston Marathon bombing and manhunt in our neighborhood was incredibly helpful to us. We just turned 8 years old, and we certainly wouldn't be where we are today without your prayerful and financial support of Houston's First. When Hurricane Harvey ravaged your community, our folks rallied together, also with prayer and finances. Please receive this love offering of $3,247 from our members so you can continue showing the love of Christ to those who need help during this time. So I just thought that was incredible, man. The body of Christ in that we would see God do something like that, and it doesn't really connect with point one of my message, but I just wanted you to hear that and to be able to know that the body of Christ across the nation, as we're helping other churches and we're helping people and reaching out, that it's so humbling for us to be able to be helped as well, and we receive that, we desire that, not because we're prideful, but humbling and like, wow, this is awesome. So I just love that it was $3,247. I mean, just an exact amount. They didn't say, well, let's just write them a check for whatever, but they were able to give that, which is great. And so we're in Luke chapter 1 is where we're going to be in just a moment. All of our campuses joined together. One of the joys we have at Christmas time is Christmas music. I love Christmas music. You love Christmas music. We get a new Christmas CD every year, and it's great, you know, and we're more than, it's not like just limited to one, but we get them. And what's interesting about Christmas is this. You've got these Christmas songs that are like, yes, this is incredible. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? It's that. It's let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It's joy to the world. It's have a holly jolly Christmas. And you're listening to it on these CDs and you're going through, and then they change it to the next song comes along, which is great. And you've got this holly jolly Christmas. And then you end up with like, I'll be home for Christmas even in my dreams, if it's only my dreams. And it's like this. And then Elvis comes on. I'll have a blue Christmas. Then Dolly Parton comes on. It's going to be a hard candy Christmas this year. It's going to be tough. And you end up in this place where you're like, oh my goodness, we're going from this up top. This is the most wonderful time of the year to only in my dream. And it's just, gosh, I'm crying. And then that Christmas shoes one comes on. And you're like, people don't even have shoes, man. And I got gifts underneath the tree. And mama needs a new pair of shoes. And all, I mean, it's just, it's like the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows of Christmases, the babies that are at the table, and then maybe the grandparents that aren't at the table. The things that happen great in the year, the things that happen terrible in the year. There is truly an up and a down of Christmas, isn't there? And it's really hard on our hearts when we come into something and we got to be up and turn it on, but we're really down in our hearts because we have that blueness or one of those songs that are kind of the sad songs relate with us. Well, what we're gonna see is that God can meet us in any place that we are. We're in a three-part series on hope, that God is our hope for the ages. Jesus Christ come to earth is the hope for the ages. So our CD is called Hope for the Ages, and for us to be able to have that hope. And so what we're gonna see is we're gonna look and we're gonna see Mary's praise song. Her song of praise. This is getting her ready. She's been at Elizabeth's house. Elizabeth's like, you've got the Christ child. I got John the Baptist. This is amazing. What a family dinner this is gonna be. I mean, this is awesome. So she's thinking through these things, pondering these things. And she's gonna sing a song. There's four New Testament psalms is what they call them. And I put it in your listening guide at the very beginning. And they really all center around Christmas. Christmas songs aren't just something that's been commercialized. We have Christmas songs in the scripture, actually. The first one is one that we're going to go over, Mary's Magnificat. And what that is it's from the first word of Latin that this is magnificent. Then we have Zechariah's benediction. You can see later on in the same chapter of scripture. We have the angels singing glory in excelsis Dei. So glory to God in the highest. Then we have Simeon saying nunc dimittis, which means dismiss your servant. Now I've seen this Christ child and I can be dismissed. I can go on to heaven now. I've seen all I need to see. And so these are psalms, they're songs that are lifted up. In Mary's song that we're gonna read, and we're gonna do the next 2 weeks, there's 15 Old Testament references. Mary knew her Bible. She understood that this was a prophecy that was taking place, that God didn't just go, hey, let's just come up with something. No, he knew exactly what he was doing and he planned it over the course of history and eternity to say, now Jesus is coming. So we're gonna end up in Mary's song here, the Psalm of Mary, the magnificent that Mary is gonna sing out. We're gonna hit just a few verses. Verses 46 through 50 is what we're gonna cover today. And we're gonna take it line by line. But here we go, let's start with verse 46. Mary said, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the mighty one has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. Look back at verse 46. And Mary said, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord. Let's just take a stop right there. My soul praises the greatness of the Lord. So much of Christmas is exterior. It's taste buds. It's really some of it, if the truth be known, is based in actually fleshly greed, right? We just want stuff. Or it's based in the approval of others. We want to give something, and we want to give something. And if you ever worried, I know you have, because I have too. Not will they like it, but will it be enough in comparison to the rest of the gifts that are being given? I don't want to be the one that shows up with this, and everybody showed up with that. So what are we talking about? So then that's where we end up with, like, well, what's the price limit we're going to do on this? And how much are we going to spend on this? And how are we going to do? And it gets a little stressful, because instead of going from the depths of our soul, we're going from the exterior of our flesh. And that's, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just saying there's a balance of what's happening there. Mary says, from my soul, I'm praising God. My soul, I'm praising God. So yes, give a gift that's appropriate. Give something that somebody wants. It's okay to want something for Christmas to celebrate the birth of Christ. But don't miss the soul. Don't miss what's happening. My soul praises the greatness of the Lord. Here's our point. Write it down. In our innermost, we must yearn for the utmost. Our innermost, that's our soul. Hear this in Cyprus. Our soul, our innermost, must yearn for the utmost. Sienna, hear it. To yearn for the utmost that we say, Lord, we want to go after you. And that's where the greatness of Christmas comes. Go to the mall, cook a turkey, wear red and green, celebrate with songs, have a good time, do all sorts of stuff like that. But don't miss what God wants to do in your soul. So many folks can go through Christmas and miss the soul of what God wants to do. God has sent his one and only Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ, to be born in a manger in the midst of a barnyard to say, I want every person to come to know me in relationship with him. Not just show up at a service, not just show up at a time, not just have a smile on and a gift in your hand when you ring the doorbell, but in your soul, realize that God, who you and I did not go after, has come after us. And he is for us, and he is so good. Now think about your soul for just a second. That moves it around that this is about God, not about us, doesn't it? It puts it onto a heavenly thing instead of an earthly thing. Your soul, that's a powerful thing. It's able to come and to say, I want to go to the depths of my heart. Now, what is the soul? The soul is the deepest point of contact you can have. The soul is where God and man meet. And so Mary says, I give praise for my soul. My innermost is absolutely amazed by the utmost. And so that salvation is that Jesus Christ has come from heaven to earth, and he's come to touch and to change and to wash us clean. And that comes at Christmas, not by just coming to church, but it comes not by just putting up a tree in a nativity. It comes when you say, Lord, in my soul, I need you so deeply. I need forgiveness for my sin. I need guidance for my life. I need you to be my King and my Lord. And so I lay down my soul at the foot of the cross in the manger. And I say, Jesus, would you be my Savior? That's where the soul, God and man, touch, just as it is in the Sistine Chapel where the finger of God and man, they touch together. That's the soul, that little spark, that's the place of the soul where God does his work. Think about how we refer to our spouses. We can refer to spouses as soulmates. A soulmate. Why? Because there's nobody in your life that touches as deeply as your husband or your wife. That's why a marriage that's on the rocks is incredibly painful. You cannot get along with a coworker at the office and you go, who cares? I don't really even like that guy anyway. You cannot get along with somebody in the neighborhood and just take a different route. You cannot get along with somebody in your past or in your distant family, and it maybe doesn't affect your day, but your soulmate, when you're not getting along, when you're not jiving, and when things are a problem, that's a huge problem because it's digging deep in your soul. Why? Because the two have become one, and the enemy, Satan himself, is ripping that one apart. So you've got this beautiful fabric that's woven together, and somebody's at the top ripping it apart. The soulmate of our marriages has to be protected as well. Jesus Christ has come for the soul. And one of the great illustrations of this, the relationship with us and Jesus, is us and our spouse. So protecting our marriages and saying our soulmate, it's the bride of Christ, is the church. It illustrates the marriage that we have here on earth. It illustrates the marriage that we have in heaven with Jesus. So you got to be very careful about that. And your soulmate, at the same time, we can take each other for granted, can't we, so often? Christmas can have a lot of tension within our marriages as well. She's spending too much. He's spending too much. He wants to do this. She wants to do that. I hate it when she does this. I hate it when he does that. She doesn't know I don't like those green beans. He doesn't know that how long it takes me to make those green beans, right? On it goes. But there's a soulmate that happens there. That's why students in particular, young singles, those that aren't married, I just want to tell you, that's why sex is not just an action. It's not just something for pleasure. It's the two literally physically coming together. And that's why you have to be married to have a soulmate relationship before you encounter in a physical relationship that mimics the coming together of a soul. And so that's why when we talk about waiting until marriage to have sex, it's not that everybody's trying to be, you know, this downer type of person, or we're just not with the times. It's the fact that God understands the pain that comes when you're in that physical relationship, but you don't have that soul relationship. So Mary says, in my soul, I praise the greatness of the Lord. And so in our marriages, in our soul, we praise the greatness of the Lord. Even though marriage can be difficult, no question about it. We praise him from the innermost We praise the utmost. And when that happens, even things like we see in our society of sex and the way it's portrayed, we can look back and go, wait a minute, no, there's something more with that than a physical act. It's a soulmate of a marriage that is an illustration of the soulmate of my relationship with Jesus Christ, that is the beautiful picture of Christmas in Mary's first line of her song. So how do you have a marriage that sticks together? Even if you're a believer, it's still got to come from two people saying, Lord, my innermost is for your utmost, and I'm going to trust you even in this tension that we have right here and now. Mary declares her soul. Now, let's just ask very practically, how do you do something like that? How do you, to say from my innermost to my utmost, how do you do that in downtown? How does that make sense in our Espanol campus? Here's what it means, is this. I'm gonna give you two practical things on how, because I don't wanna just give you a big point. I wanna give you two practical things on how. Number one, prayers that ask for nothing. They only adore and thank. Now think about that. Didn't I just say something that kind of tricks with your mind there a little bit? Prayers that ask for nothing. They only adore and thank. Now, by all means, have prayers that ask for things. Now, I'm not negating that at all. We have not because we ask not. We are to take things to the Lord. But there should also be a place of our prayers, of really the highest of prayers. And here's what it is. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I adore you. God, I love you. And most of us, and this is me included, I've been challenging myself with this point this week. Lord, I need, Lord, I need, Lord, I need, Lord, I want, Lord, I need, Lord, I want, Lord, I need, Lord, I want. In Jesus' name, amen. And those are great, fine prayers, but what I find personally in my own life, and maybe it's not you, is I can get leaned to one side where my prayers are prayers of I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you, based on whatever emotion I'm feeling at the time. But a centering of my life comes from, Lord, I adore you whether I feel like it or not. Lord, I thank you whether things are going well or not. Lord, I adore you and I thank you, I adore you and I thank you, I adore you and I thank you, I adore you and I thank you. And Lord, if you could help out in this situation, God, I really need you. And I thank you in advance that you know where I am. Do you see what happens with that? There's a balancing that takes place. There's a centering that takes place. And for us to just begin with this first line of Mary, this first word of her song, to just declare, my soul praises the greatness of God. And we'll see in a minute. My spirit rejoices in God. It's adoring and thanking the Lord. I've been thinking about that all week long, adoring and thanking the Lord. And I've been asking for plenty, don't worry. Asking for plenty, but adoring and thanking him as well. And last night we had an amazing time here at the Loop campus. All campuses were invited of Natalie Grant and Danny Gokey. It was an incredible concert. Those folks can sing like you have never heard. I mean, angels sing. It was absolutely spectacular. So I was at the 3:00, I was at the 7:30. I got the privilege of seeing it twice, which was amazing. And it was great because they began the whole time. I've been thinking about this verse. I've been thinking about this point of adoring and thanking, adoring and thanking. And they began the concert with them standing there with lights behind them so you could just see their silhouette singing, Come Let Us Adore Him, the great Christmas song. Come Let Us Adore Him. And I was like, Lord, let's just adore you. Let's just adore you. Let's adore you. In the midst of asking you for stuff, Lord, let's adore you. And then the concert finished with them also singing this praise song we've sung before in our church, Your Great Name, Jesus, Your Great Name. And they lifted it up and everybody was standing up and everybody was just singing it out. All of their good voices mixed with all of our bad voices, but we were all singing it out, just going for it. And they ended the concert again with singing, Let's Come, Let Us Adore Him. And this was what the end of the concert looked like. I took a picture just with my phone from where I was sitting. It just had Jesus across the screens that were there and people standing up with their hands up. And I was like, and we were singing, Come Let Us Adore Him at that moment. And I took that picture with my phone and I was like, that's the deal. That's the heart. It's not about stuff. It's not about things. It's about let's come adore him in the manger right here. And this first words of Mary's song, Come Let Us Adore Him. I challenge you this week, pray for a lot of things you need. Please don't hear me saying don't pray for the things you need. But I challenge you this week as well. I challenge you that you would also pray, Lord, I just want to adore you. Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to give it to you, God. I want to celebrate you and all that you're doing and all that you are. The second thing I want to give you as practical on this is seek to know him, know God, not just be blessed by him. Seek to know God, not just be blessed by him. That we would know him and we would come to know him during this time and be blessed by him. But that's not the ultimate goal. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know your ways. I want to know what you're doing. I want to know what you're about. And then the blessing may come, the blessing may not come, but I want to trust you with that. Those are two practical things. Prayers that ask for nothing but adore and thank. Seek to know God and be blessed by him. And whether you're singing It's a Blue Christmas or have a holly jolly Christmas, those two things can come deep in your life. Let's look at the next part of what she says here. Look at verse 47 through 49. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior because he looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely now on all generations will call me blessed. Then because the mighty one has done great things for me. His name is holy. Now, this is an interesting thing, what it says here. Verse 47, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. There's some folks that believe in what's called the sinlessness of Mary, that Mary is without sin. This verse actually says to the contrary. She says, I need a Savior as well. Now, that's a whole spin around of your mind that her son is her Savior, right? But that's part of the mystery and the greatness of Christmas. So Mary needed a Savior just like everybody. Why did Jesus come to the manger? Why were the shepherds the first ones that were told? What he's getting across is this, and the wise men coming there as well. He's getting across that every single person needs a Savior. Well, I've grown up such and such denomination. Every single person needs a Savior. Well, my dad was a preacher. It doesn't matter. Every single person needs a Savior. Well, I've never killed anybody. I've never done anything that wrong. Every person needs a Savior. Mary needs a Savior. The wise men need a Savior. The people that are surrounding in the village of Bethlehem need a Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. Jesus Christ has come to be our Savior. So what does it mean to be saved? Here's what it means, is that Jesus has come to earth to forgive you of your sins. He lived the life you couldn't live. He died on the cross, the death you should have died. And if you'll place your faith and trust in his grace alone, then he will save your soul. Come to the manger and say, Lord, I need you and I trust you and I place all my sin on you and I receive all your righteousness on me. Would you save my soul? During the message, after the message, at the end of our services, at every single campus, you can talk to somebody. You can pray right now in your seat and say, Lord, I ask you to forgive my sins. I want you to be my Savior. I need your grace. I place my faith in you alone to go to heaven when I die. I trust you. Everybody needs a Savior. And it says there, as we get further along in the scripture in verse 49, it says, he has done great things for me and his name is holy. I want us to say together as they would in heaven, I want us to say holy three times. You know, the angels in heaven say holy, holy, holy. I just want to say that together. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Holy, holy, holy. Again, every campus, holy, holy, holy. God is holy. Now, we much more prefer generous, we prefer nice, we prefer loving, we prefer kind, we prefer forgiving, but all of those things begin from his holiness. From his holiness, he's kind. From his holiness, he's forgiving. From his holiness, he's loving. From his holiness, he's generous. From his holiness, he's all of these things, and that makes it even better, even better. And Mary declares in her song, he's holy. What's holy? Holy is he's never thought about, thinking about doing anything wrong. Holy is he is absolutely pure in perfection. Holy is that he knows everything before one thing is lived out. Holy is he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. Holy is he has a plan. Holy is he's got a direction. Holy is he sends his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, I want you to know I am holy. Holy is his name. Holy is his name. And in verse 50, it wraps up and it says, his mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. Generation to generation. See, we all need him. We all need him. That's the point with holiness. From generation to generation, we all need him. in realizing his holiness and realizing even Mary needed him was a huge, huge thing. We all need him. Every single person needs him. And that's what's great about Christmas, is it equalizes everybody, doesn't it? Now, some folks are gonna give a, you know, the December to remember, Lexus in the driveway, bow on the car type of thing. And some of us are gonna give, you know, some little thing that's not quite that. That's what's happening. Some of us are gonna do this, some of us are gonna do that, and that's great, that's fine. Some of us are gonna have a Christmas that looks like Southern Living would take a picture of it. Some of us are going to have a Christmas that looks like Elvis would be singing the soundtrack of A Blue, Blue Christmas, you know, with a frozen pizza and watching a parade on TV. But here's the deal. God knows every single person, and we all need him. And it can be the greatest of things on the exterior, but it can be the total miss on the interior. And our innermost has to yearn for his utmost, because this whole thing is about the soul. It's about the soul. It's not about Amazon Prime. It's about Jesus doing his work in our lives and our heart. And all, everything else is a celebration of that. We'll have a turkey, we'll have gifts, we'll do the tree, we do all that stuff. But all of that is a celebration of the innermost celebrating on the exterior. And she says here in verse 50, his mercy is from generation to generation, those who fear him. Christmas connects us. Last point, Christmas connects us. We are connected generationally at Christmas, aren't we? It's a time we come together generationally. So we get together at Christmas. Grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa get together with all the kids. It's awesome. We put on the music. We're able to do that. Christmas draws us together. Now, let me ask you this. How many great-grandparents got invited to the concert that your great-grandkids loved that band this year? I hope zero of you got invited to that. You don't want to go to that. That's not the way that it connects in those ways, but this way it connects. At Christmas, it connects in a great way. Christmas connects us. Do you know, I did just a little research that AAA says that over 100 million people will travel over Christmas. 100 million people will travel over Christmas. And they typically on Christmas, AAA does over 1 million rescues for a dead battery, flat tires, and being locked out. People are on the road. People are going. Why? Because we're connecting over Christmas. We're connecting. We're like, when are you coming? What time are you going to be here? What's happening? We're connecting over Christmas. If you're not going to somebody, then at some point in that day, you're calling up somebody, aren't you? Hey, just want to say hi. How y'all doing? Oh, were the presents good? I was, oh yeah, so-and-so made their such and such. And everybody starts connecting. Christmas connects us. That's a beautiful thing. That's what Mary is singing. His mercy is from generation to generation. And here's what's key as a point of application. Generation to generation, we've got to be able to connect on things that really, really make a difference like this. Because it's hard to connect on the superficial things sometimes from generation to a generation. We listen to different music. We watch different TV shows. We dress differently. We talk differently. We understand things differently. We have gadgets over here of digital natives that know exactly how to do it. And then somebody else, it's like, man, can we go back to a rotary phone? I mean, that was so much easier way back then. So, I mean, we've got all over the map. And all of those things do not matter. And the church a lot of times can be the worst on connecting generations. But here on the things of the soul, we can connect on these timeless things. Now, here's the deal. Let me just put it out there for us as adults. It is our responsibility to reach out and to connect with the younger generations. Do you know that? That's our responsibility. Don't expect a 14-year-old to connect with a 54-year-old. The 54-year-old's got to be the one that says, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? How's school going? What's taking place? That's why we naturally, when you meet a little kid, you just get down on one knee and you just say, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? What's going on? What's your teacher's name? How's school going? There's just that natural thing. It's the adult, it's the older person's responsibility in maturity in their faith, maturity in their life to say, let me talk to you instead of act like you're supposed to be like me. The 16-year-old's not going to act like the 46-year-old. Now, the 46-year-old may act like the 16-year-old. I don't know. That's different. You're everybody's family. But it's our job to be able to connect in this way. Mary says, I connect with generations to generations. I ask you this question. Have you ever seen a kid with a picture of their parents that they're showing on their phones to all their friends? Have you ever heard of a kid that said, hey, you guys, have y'all seen the latest picture of my grandparents? This is incredible. Watch this video. They're talking. Isn't that cute? Look how cute they are. But all of us know better than to say to a grandparent, hey, do you have any recent pictures of your grandkids? Right? Because we're like, I don't have an hour, right? Oh, we got pictures and all that. And so, we ask. It's a good, fun time thing. But the grandparents love to show pictures of the grandkids, but the grandkids are never really saying, here's pictures of my grandparents. I'll give you an example. Just this week, my son, I had my phone and my screen saver homepage is a picture of Kelly and I standing there smiling. And so, that's my first thing that I see when I turn on my phone is my wife and I. And he had Spotify. It's a music type thing where you can play all these things, different songs on the web. And so, he's playing songs. And so he's got my phone because I got Spotify too, and he's going through, and I hear one of his friends in the back seat of the car. I'm driving, my son's in the front seat, and I hear his friend whisper over the back. He goes, dude, do you have a picture of your parents as your home screen? And it's just like this, you know, didn't think I heard kind of thing. So I'm listening, and Grace goes, no. I mean, of course not. I mean, why would I put a picture of the people that have provided everything for me in my life on my home screen? That love me more than anybody? No. I've got our dog, you know, instead. Or, you know, I mean, which wasn't what he had. I don't even know what he's got on his home screen. But it was so funny to this point. Dude, do you have a picture of your parents as your home screen? I mean, the kiss of social death, right, at that moment. But what is Mary saying? Generation to generation, we connect. So adults, I give you a mandate. It's your job. It's my job to connect with those teenagers, and those kids, and those whoevers, and those whatevers, and whatever age group it is, and to just love them and connect them. They're different from you, and God bless them for that. And they have different thoughts than you do, and that I do, and they understand things differently than we do. But Christmas is about coming together. When we say it's about the kids, that doesn't mean it's about toys. It's about this. This is what it means. It's about us passing on the good news of Jesus Christ from one generation to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation, so that the gospel of God goes forward for all of eternity, so souls can be saved and lives can be changed. And so we can issue and we can state hope for the ages. We give you hope for the ages in Jesus Christ. Hope for all ages. And for us to be able to celebrate that. One of the songs that I love that's just a great song on this, it's called Our Prince of Peace. And this is what it says. It says this, the farthest thing from a silent night, an unexpected world, unexpected light. Unknowing souls find a destined place. The scene is set for the birth of grace. The farthest thing from a lullaby, the voice of God in a baby's cry. The greatest gift from heaven's throne, through a mother's pain, comes our hope. Then the chorus. We give you honor to Jesus, our innermost to our utmost. We give you honor. We give you glory. Our Prince of Peace who came to save. We kneel before you in this place. Our Prince of Peace who came to save. Our Prince of Peace who came to save. Would you let this Christmas your innermost yearn for his utmost? My soul glorifies the Lord, and I reach out to him. I'm going to adore you, Lord, and I'm going to give you thanks. I'm going to ask for stuff too, but I'm going to lead with adoring and thanks. And in the midst of that, I'm going to realize that every single person needs you. Mary needed you. Wise men need you. I need you. And as I'm needing you and you're doing something in my innermost, of maybe even my marriage and my life and my heart and my innermost to the utmost, I'm going to reach out to generation, people to people, person to person, and I'm going to say, here's the great news. Of the good news of Jesus Christ, the great news of Jesus Christ has come to planet Earth to connect us together, not to draw us apart, but to connect us together. We're gonna see next time we're together as we finish this song of Mary, that she's gonna flip everything around. He's gonna flip everything around, I should say, and she's gonna sing about it. And we're gonna see some great things. So join next week as well for that.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.